This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Andrea Dwyer, Executive Director of Seattle Tilth, a nonprofit whose mission is to inspire and educate people to safeguard our natural resources while building an equitable and sustainable local food system. Andrea Dwyer is here today to tell us about Tilth's urban farms and gardens, including Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands. Welcome.
Thank you.
Would you begin by saying a few words about Seattle Tilth, your goals and history?
Happy to. Seattle Tilth was founded in the late 70s by a group of people who were concerned about the industrialization of agriculture. And they were worried about the impact that could have on not only farming, but also on individuals, those who worked on farms, and those who eat food grown on farms, and in general about community well-being. Over the years, initially, the Tilth movement took several different forms. Seattle Tilth initially focused more on urban agriculture and education. There are other Tilths. Oregon Tilth, for example, focuses on organic certification. Tilth Producers of Washington represents farmers across the state of Washington who use organic practices. And we consider these organizations sister organizations. We all sort of work in the same arena towards accomplishing the same goals.
What does the word Tilth mean, just in case somebody doesn't know?
Tilth has a very rich and deep meaning. In its most literal sense, it is the quality of soil. So when you have good tilth, you have soil that is a really great growing medium. We think of it more broadly to mean sort of a system or a situation in which growth can thrive.
Before we go into detail about your urban farms and gardens, would you give a brief overview of all your programs?
We work across the entire spectrum of the food system, and we divide our programs into five areas. We think of them in simple terms as starting with earth, and then farms, gardens, market, and kitchen. The earth area really encompasses all of our environmental programs. So, for example, we teach people how to compost. And composting is one of the ways in which you can build healthy soil. We also teach water conservation and how to maintain good water quality. We have a garden hotline, so people are able to call us or email us with questions about growing food sustainably. And we teach integrated pest management, so you can grow food without having to resort to pesticides or herbicides or things like that. Our farming programs encompass three main areas. We have, in addition to Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands, which I'll talk about in a minute, we have a small farm business incubator program, which we call Seattle Tilth Farmworks. And there we teach people who are interested in having small farming businesses how to not only grow food, but we teach good business practices and marketing techniques. And we work primarily with immigrants, refugees, and other socially disadvantaged individuals. We also offer a small farming program for homeless and at-risk youth that we call Seattle Youth Garden Works. And in this program, youth who are facing more than the normal amount of challenges are given the opportunity to learn life skills and job skills through agriculture. And then finally, in the farming arena, we have the Rainier Beach Urban Farm, which is a 7.5-acre parcel of land. It's parkland, so it's owned by the city of Seattle. And it's really an opportunity for us to demonstrate the full breadth of what we do. There are wetlands on site. There are greenhouses on site. We hope to be building a classroom and kitchen in 2016 on the site. And it's an environmental and agriculture learning center for people across the city. In our garden program area, we teach everybody from toddlers to elders how to grow food in their backyards, on their balconies, in a community garden. We have school gardens that we support. We have demonstration and learning gardens where we teach these techniques. We have a program within the garden area called the Just Garden Program, where we build raised bed gardens for low-income individuals and communities. In the market area, once you've grown this food, it's really important that you get it into the hands of people. And we recognized when we started our small farm business incubator that one of the biggest challenges that farmers face is how they get their produce to market. So we started a food distribution hub. And through that food distribution hub, farmers have the option, if they choose to essentially grow food and sell it to us, and then we take care of getting it to market. We offer a CSA program, or community-supported agriculture, through the food hub. We attend, I think, 4 or 5 farmers markets around the area, and we have a handful of wholesale accounts. We source not only from the farmers in our incubator program, but we also turn to other farmers in the community who use organic practices and give them the option to use our access to markets as well. One other program we have in the market arena is what we call the Good Food Bag Program. And that is sort of a deconstructed, decentralized CSA where we sell bags of healthy, fresh, locally grown produce to low-income families and individuals at a subsidized rate. We've distributed about 6,000 good food bags this year in partnership with many other community-based organizations like Tiny Tots Childcare and Meals on Wheels, the Indian Health Board, and so on. And then finally, people need to know what to do with food. So we have cooking and nutrition programs where we teach people what we think of as intuitive cooking skills. So how do you take seasonal produce and make it tasty, and you do that quickly and conveniently without a lot of exotic ingredients or complicated recipes?
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Andrea Dwyer, Executive Director of Seattle Tilth. Our topic is Tilth Urban Farms and Gardens, including Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. Let's focus now on Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands. What is the history?
So the Seattle Parks Department used to grow nursery stock at this location that they used throughout the park system. And they decided in 2008 that they were better off sourcing those plants elsewhere, which left the land vacant. So they turned to the community and asked what kind of use they would like to see this parkland made available for. And the community actually came up with the idea of an urban farm. We were working in that neighborhood already, and some of our volunteers and staff were part of the group that really promoted this idea. It took us a while to convince the Parks Department that urban agriculture was indeed an appropriate use of public space and that it met their goals of healthy eating and active living, and that if they partnered with an organization that had a history of managing public land successfully, that they could offer this kind of an experience without needing to suddenly become experts in urban agriculture. So the Parks Department was convinced. The Parks Board decided that they would accept proposals from outside organizations. We partnered with a community-based group called the Friends of Rainier Beach Urban Farm and put a proposal forward and ended up with an agreement to manage the site.
What is the purpose of Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands? What are your goals?
Our goal really is to serve the community in a number of ways. We want to teach people the principles of organic agriculture. We want to educate them on appropriate environmental issues. But over and above that, we want to build community and help introduce the concepts of food security, making sure that healthy food is more accessible and more available and more familiar to everybody from school kids to elders.
Who is involved in Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands?
Well, in addition to the community group that I mentioned, we have a wide array of partners who work with us there. For example, we have a group of East African elders who come to the farm every week. They spend a couple of hours working in the fields, and then they harvest and cook a meal that we spread a long table down the center of the farm or in a greenhouse if there's inclement weather, and share that meal with everybody on site. We have a Seattle Youth Garden Works crew, so a number of young people who come to the farm multiple times during the week, and they help us maintain the site and grow the food that we harvest then and sell through our farm stand that's on site or distribute through the good food bags that I mentioned. Many, many schools bring their students there and do field trips, studying everything from water quality in the wetlands to putting their hands in the worm bins and learning about compost. And we also have different gardening groups that work with us, such as a dementia-friendly gardening group. And we host drop-in work parties for volunteers every week. And several different corporate groups come on a regular basis to help with service activities.
What type of food do you grow?
Just about everything. We grow the kinds of annual vegetable crops that do well in the Pacific Northwest, like leafy greens, root crops, herbs, onions, carrots, kale. Can be a little challenging to grow tomatoes and peppers in this climate, but we do have greenhouses on site, so we're able to grow some of those summer crops. And because a good portion of the property is wetlands, and in wetland buffers you cannot grow annual crops because you cannot disturb the soil on a regular basis, we also grow perennials. So fruits like blueberries, raspberries, other kinds of plants that reappear every year.
Well, you've said a bit about this already, but would you underscore where the food goes? Who gets the food?
I mentioned a farm stand. I mentioned the good food bags. I mentioned the meal program that the elders participate in every week. We also support a number of congregate meal programs or senior meal programs around the neighborhood. So we distribute some food into those meal programs. We also share the food with the different community members who come and volunteer. Some of our Garden Works youth are able to share in the harvest. So our goal really is to ensure that food access and make sure that people who need access to healthy food are able to come to the farm and get their hands on some of that great tasty stuff.
And what are you doing specifically for the protection of the wetlands that are part of the farm?
We started by removing a lot of the invasive species that had grown up over time in the wetlands area. And that is kind of a never-ending task. You remove them, they grow back, you remove them again. So we don't think that will ever be finished. We will always be vigilant in making sure that we're keeping those kinds of plant species that don't belong in a wetlands, keeping them out of there, and then replacing those with native species. So species that are intended to preserve the wetlands and help the wetlands do what they're meant to do, which is filter water as it finds its way into our waterways.
What do you consider the key accomplishment of Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands so far?
So far, I really think the greatest accomplishment is how important it has become in that community. The Rainier Beach neighborhood has challenges. It's a socioeconomically depressed neighborhood, but there are many, many people who care about the vibrancy of that neighborhood. And when they recently redid their neighborhood comprehensive plan, they identified the farm as one of the pillars of sort of future vibrancy in that neighborhood. So becoming important to that community in the short amount of time that we've worked there, I think, is something we're very proud of.
What are some stories of individuals who have benefited from the Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands?
The elders, I think, many of them have very interesting stories, but one of my favorite anecdotes is these elders, for the most part, come from Eastern African countries, and many of them don't speak English. And we work with a man named Michael Noguse, who often interprets for us. And he told us about the woman who comes every week and who is involved in harvesting and cooking the meal. And she's very shy, very soft-spoken. And she came up to him one day and told him, "Michael, I want to thank you." And he said, "Thank me for what?" And she said, "Well, I recently went to the doctor and had a checkup. And my doctor said, 'I'm so surprised. Your blood sugar is better. Your blood pressure is down. And you've lost weight. And your English has improved. What in the world have you been doing?'" And she said, "I told him, 'It's the farm. I go to the farm.' So thank you, Michael, for, you know, creating this environment in which I can do these things."
What are some of the challenges you have faced in the Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands?
When we first began to program there, this is a property that had been used to grow plants mostly in pots, so the ground was very compacted. We had very few facilities. It had been staffed by one person, so in order to support the kind of programming and to attract the number of volunteers and program participants that we wanted to work with, we've had to be very creative. So our elders, for example, when they cook their meals, use a camp stove. Our staff have had to wear multiple layers of clothes in the colder months when the heating and the tool shed that we use for office space doesn't get very warm. The whole aspect of restoring the wetlands and identifying which areas we can grow certain crops has been challenging. So challenges on a number of different levels, but all of those have been great learning experiences that we've weathered over the last few years.
What are your plans for the future for Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands?
We have recently completed an effort to raise capital dollars that will help us make some investments at the farm. So we plan to renovate the tool shed and turn that into office space. We plan to realign the greenhouses that had, for the most part, been used as shade houses or houses that protected the plants from sun. We need to reorient those on the property and then reskin them so we can have them more productive, especially in terms of those heat-seeking crops that are so difficult to grow here. And then sort of the centerpiece of the farm is a new kitchen and classroom where we would be able to teach people, whether it was cooking or environmental programs, inside out of the elements.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Andrea Dwyer, Executive Director of Seattle Tilth. Our topic is Tilth's urban farms and gardens, including Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands. Another one of your urban farming efforts is Seattle Tilth Farmworks, and you said a bit about that at the beginning. Maybe you could remind us how it's set up and its goals and who is involved in that particular farm.
That farm came out of the desire of some recent refugees and immigrants to find a pathway to self-sufficiency. So these individuals felt that one of the skills they brought with them from their home country was the knowledge of how to grow food, and yet they didn't necessarily know how to grow food in this climate, and they didn't necessarily know which types of plants or vegetables would do well here. So working with another organization called Burst for Prosperity, we established this farm incubator as a method to teach them the things that they didn't know and then support their efforts as they launch their small farming businesses. We offer an education course, and then once they have gone through that course, they're eligible to start with a small parcel of land. So they lease land from us, and they have access to utilities, equipment, and ongoing technical assistance, all of which is subsidized. And over time, that subsidy decreases as they take on more of the cost of running their business.
And what have been the accomplishments so far?
This was our fifth season of the farm incubator. And this year, we grew about 37,000 pounds of food at the incubator with a retail value of about $99,000. We have several farmers who are reaching what we think of as kind of the target per acre revenue goal. So some of our most successful farmers, for example, Francis and Elizabeth, farm together, and they this year have earned over $20,000 on their very small parcel of land. We are limited in space there, so farmers get anywhere from an eighth of an acre to a full acre. And if you can generate $15,000 to $20,000 on a single acre, then you have potential to really have a very successful small business once you're able to expand to additional land. And because we're sort of at capacity at our current farm incubator site, we're looking for additional space to be able to transition farmers like Francis and Elizabeth onto larger parcels of land.
Let's touch again on Seattle Youth Garden Works, which again you mentioned a bit about at the beginning. Remind us of the purpose and the accomplishments there.
Seattle Youth Garden Works is a program that's designed to help young people who are at risk develop life skills and job skills, and agriculture is a vehicle through which we do that. So we work with different social service agencies in the area for referrals. They send young people to us, many of whom are homeless or unstably housed, and they have a chance to work with us over an 8-week period in the spring to decide if it's a program that appeals to them and that they believe will provide them with success. We pay them from day one. They earn a stipend in their first year. Once they go through that 8-week period, they are able to apply to our year-round program, and they spend the next 12 months learning a combination of skills around not only how to grow food, but also very simple things like how to show up on time, how to work as part of a team, how to be responsible for the accountabilities that you've taken on within the crew. They harvest the food, they take it to the farmers market, they learn good customer service, they learn how to promote and market the food. And then as sort of a sidebar, they also learn nutrition and cooking, because we realized at one point, if they weren't eating the food, it was difficult for them to really be successful salespeople. So we now have a cooking and nutrition component, sort of a track that exists within the Seattle Youth Garden Works program. We also teach them life skills, everything from how to write a resume to public speaking to budgeting. And each individual in the program also sets educational goals, and we monitor that and make progress towards those goals as well.
Could you give us a story of an individual who's benefited from this program?
We worked for several years with a young man named Denzel. He was on the verge of becoming part of the juvenile justice system. He had gotten himself in trouble, and he was told that he needed to get his life on track, and they referred him to our program. He became a crew member for the first year, and then following that first year, if you've had been able to meet all your responsibilities, you're eligible to apply for a second year when you become a crew leader. So he took on a leadership role and carried the primary responsibility for the irrigation system, taught other youth how to work that system, and was really able to serve as a leader to his peers. Another example is a young woman by the name of Suze, who spent years in the foster care system and came to us thinking that it would provide her with a little income. 3 years later, she is on Seattle Till staff as an operations specialist and helps us administer that program.
How does Seattle Tilth plan to focus its efforts in the future? You have a lot of programs.
We do have a lot of programs, but that is by design. We believe that in order to really make a difference in the food system, that we can't focus on just one narrow aspect of the food system, that we really have to think about the entire spectrum of the food system, starting with a healthy environment all the way through the growing of the food to getting it onto someone's kitchen table. Our focus for the future, we are actually looking to expand our farm incubator. We'll be working on developing other urban farms like the Rainier Beach Urban Farm. We have entered into an agreement with a city that is within the same county, but on the eastern side of the Seattle metropolitan region, the city of Kirkland, and we're helping them transform one of their urban parks into an urban farm. We are hoping to replicate the Seattle Youth Garden Works program, expand our Just Garden program, expand the distribution of our food. We just see ourselves doing more across a broader geographic region than where we're currently focused.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
The message, I think it's really about helping people eat well every day, and that we need to recognize that the people who work hard to grow our food deserve to be working in a healthy environment, deserve respect for the work that they do, and that we are thinking about our food system in a way that is, I would say, kind to the earth, fair to farmers, and good for all of us.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Andrea.
Thank you.
You were just listening to Andrea Dwyer, Executive Director of Seattle Tilth. For more information, check on the web at seattletilth.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on Listener Power 90.3 FM by mobile app and at kexp.org.